So the first person I want to invite up is Mel. Is Mel here? There you go. Right on. Let's hear it for Mel. Right on. Mel's going to share a little bit about her experience at Operation Backpack.
So Joe just talked about those who are inept. Well, here I am. So no computer, none of those good things. Many years ago, before homelessness was something we really heard about on Vancouver Island, I was visiting family in Manitoba, and it was January and really cold. I asked my brother, what do homeless people do in the winter? One could easily freeze to death on a prairie winter night. That sparked my first feelings of, how do you help the homeless? Recently, Operation Backpack became an outreach at Bethel. I was happy to donate to the cause. As homelessness has become what it is, the prompting that started many years ago still bothered me. How can I help? This summer, I started asking, how do I get involved? What can I do? Being a behind-the-scenes person, I never thought I would be out on the street with Operation Backpack. A couple of weeks ago, I had the privilege of handing out backpacks and clothes, but most importantly, interacting with some homeless people. B had been given a backpack, clothes, soup, and coffee. Lorena and I were talking with her. She shared that she had been on the streets for 28 years. All forms had been filled out for her to get housing. She is still waiting for that to happen. We went on to help other people. A while later, Bea was still standing in the parking lot. I went over and asked if there was something more we could do for her. She shared more of her story. A man who was also receiving help from the Operation Backpack has been her partner for years, and how hard that is living on the streets. I asked if she wanted a hug. As I held her, she just sobbed. It seems there is no compassion for the homeless. She was so thankful. I helped Jay find some warm sweaters and a few other items. She was leaving the area, and I asked if I could pray for her. She said yes. I prayed, then stopped and asked her if there's something she might want prayer for that I hadn't prayed about. She asked for prayer for visitation for her children. We prayed again. I said, thank you, thank you, thank you. Every person I helped was so thankful for clothes and just to know that they were cared about. We had run out of sugar for coffee, and I was asked if I could go and get some sugar. On my way to the store, I saw some homeless people who had not yet been to Operation Backpack. I went over and asked how they were doing and told them about Operation Backpack and where we were set up. I never thought I would ever have what it takes to go up and approach a homeless person. God has given me my answer to, what can I do? How can I help? I will continue to be a background person, which is my comfort zone. But I will also continue to step out of my comfort zone to reach out, to show compassion, love, and prayer as Operation Backpack continues. And the scripture I want to share is, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mel. I'm going to invite Brandon to come on up and share. He was also helping out at Operation Backpack. Okay, like, tithe. So Brandon doesn't have to wear a coat in the church. Here you go.
Thanks, Pastor Joe. He looks good, though, doesn't he? I like his outfit today. Some of you know me and most of you don't. My name is Brandon Lonsberry, and I've had the proud opportunity to help out with Operation Backpack and give some of my time and my efforts. I really just want to touch base on one story of a gentleman that I was helping. His name was Jesse. He showed up with his pants around his knees, no underwear, a jacket falling off of him, a backpack that was ripped, and most of his belongings were hanging out of it and falling out everywhere. And as I spoke with him and I interacted, I realized that Jesse had been on the streets for about 13 months now, and he had fallen on hard times, lost his job due to a drug addiction, which was unfortunate. But he was out on the streets and fending for himself, doing the best that he could. And he was super grateful just to have had an opportunity to be recognized as a human being again, just to be given a handout of anything. In the bags were, just some super essential things, but those things meant so much to somebody who had absolutely nothing. For those that, struggling to get clean water, there's a bottle of water in there for them. Just super grateful to see that. And just, you'd see their eyes light up every time that you told them, oh, well, do you have a sweater? There's a sweater over here. Do you have a jacket? Well, go and see if you can find one on the rack. Is there a pair of shoes that you could use? There's something in the box. If there is, it'll fit you. Go ahead, get it. I'm so grateful to have been able to give my time. This is my second go around. I helped out last year, and I was offered the opportunity to help out again this year, and I will help out any chance I get. And I would hope you guys would also give back to me. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Right on. Thank you so much for sharing, Brandon. The reason I asked Mel and Brandon to share their stories, and I don't know if you could hear it in the undertone of what they were sharing, is that they were impacted when they were part of someone else's breakthrough. And as we go through the series on breakthrough, I mentioned this last week, maybe you're here and you're like, I actually don't need breakthrough in my life. Well, as Mel read in that scripture verse, those were the words of Jesus, that was his mission statement here on earth. He has anointed you to go and to help the poor, to preach the gospel, to encourage and lift people up. So be part of someone else's breakthrough. You guys did awesome. Brandon, I love your drip. So sorry to make fun of you. It's great. I'm going to invite Jim and Carol to come on up. They've had quite a difficult year, and I would love for them to come and share their stories. So.
You'll have to turn me down. I got to use helps. Paper, glasses, data. It's been a trying year, but God brought us through, just so you know, if you didn't know. The path began back in November 23. Urologist, checking out a problem. Tests and tests. So many things. Give me a minute, folks. Then we're waiting. When you get tests, and you think, oh boy, I'll get that answer tomorrow. Are you in the medical process, in the medical loop? You don't get it tomorrow, but you wait. More tests. We finally asked him, is it okay if we go to visit our family at Christmas? Or do you want us here still? And then, no, go ahead. There's no big rush. Medical system. Great time with the family. Came home, the word was, yes, it's cancer. The cancer word is, you know, it's almost like a death sentence when you hear that word, that cursed word, cancer. February, we started preliminary treatments. Preliminary treatments were just a pill. Well, it wasn't a pill, it was a needle in my belly, but hormonal treatment for cancer, so everything shrinks. That went on and on and on. June, we had to decide what kind of treatment we were going to get. We had two choices. You could get radiated, or you could get this seed put in your prostate. We chose radiation, less invasive. They came back, okay, all right. Now, it'll be 2 or 3 months more. Really? More time. There's an option. You can go to Bellingham and get your treatment there. And so we chose go to Bellingham. Within days, we heard from the association. In no time at all, we were headed for Bellingham on July the 2nd for our first radiation treatment. The clinic was only 10 minutes from our suite and was really kind of nice. The previous one was an option to go to Victoria, which wasn't nice. Rod and Chris Watherspoon took us through the thing because he had done the same travel into Victoria, and we went through all the logistics, how to get there and everything, and that was so helpful because now you knew where you were going to go if you went to Victoria and how to get there, and that was a real help. But now we're in Bellingham, and we had a suite 10 minutes away, which was really nice. The treatment was 20 minutes long. Thank God for one thing. Many said, oh, you're going to be tired. You're going to have after stuff, you know. You're just going to be just wiped out. Thank God I didn't. We were out walking. We were out. I said to one guy, I didn't go till the afternoon. I said, yeah, I played 18 holes of golf this morning. Sorry, that was pitch and putt. But anyway, it was still 18 holes. So, yeah. Did I say God is faithful in all a part of your life? After 31 days, we finished our 20 treatments and headed for home. 6 weeks later, after a blood test, I heard from them again. Results from the oncologist. He talked about, well, how are you feeling? Are you tired? Have you got any blood in your urine? This is exciting stuff, I know. He talked, and here I am waiting. Come on. I don't care about all those questions. I'm fine. What was the results of the test? Oh, yeah, that's right. I decided to leave that till the last. No, I don't know. There's something sadistic about that. He said, oh, you're doing good. You're doing good. I was 19-20 PSA test prior. He said, no, now you're 0.01. Hallelujah. 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 Good results, huh? Thank you, Lord. And through it all, the prayers of God's children were the key. You know, we sometimes wonder, why are you praying all the time for the same person? You know, this is the key. You think that it's just prayer. You know, we have a prayer meeting here once a week. And one of our past pastors had the best sense. He said, this is the most important meeting in Ladysmith tonight, where you're going to come and you're going to pray. You're going to pray for the hope for the town. You're going to pray for the people. You're going to pray for the body of Christ. You're going to pray for those that are sick and ailing and in trouble. That's my little sermon. Some stars. There was one dear saint that prayed for me 3 times a day. I mean, hallelujah. My daughter was with us when we were in Bellingham, and she travels all over the world to prophetic conferences and teachings and college teaching, learning about it. And she had a church in Scotland praying for me through all that. So, you know, prayer gets around. But mostly the church family here in Bethel, they did the prayer. Holy Spirit welled up in me through it all. I look back and I say, oh God, what peace. What peace the presence of God was with us through it all. And I, you know, Nancy asked me this morning, she says, how you doing? I says, I'm doing the same as I was before and after. I haven't really changed. I never had a low. I never had an anxiety time in it. I just trusted God. And strictly through prayer and through the scripture. And so I'll pass the scripture reader the microphone.
Waiting is brutal. I don't know how anybody else feels about that, but waiting is brutal. I think about Jim's diagnosis coming in last November, and it was only just in September that we got the result that it was okay. So all those months of waiting, and I have to say it was brutal, the waiting. But after the shock, okay, the waiting begins. And I'm a poor sleeper at best. But when we got the news, I dreaded going to bed, knowing my mind would be filled with anxiety and what ifs, etc., and my sleep would be worse. But I prayed much. Lord, don't let me lose sight of your sovereignty and your power. Please fill me with the peace that only comes from you today and every day. Our friends, as Jim was just saying, and our Bethel family, along with our own family, who asked for prayer from their friends, helped us keep our spirits up day to day. I began to write in my journal quotations from people who have waited on the Lord and found comfort and hope. Elizabeth Elliot, one of my favorite authors who lost her husband in the mission field, she said this, "Peace does not dwell in outward things, but in the heart prepared to wait trustfully and quietly on him who has all things safely in his hands." She also said, "Waiting on God requires the willingness to bear uncertainty." I hate that. The willingness to bear uncertainty, to carry within oneself the unanswered question, lifting the heart to God about it whenever it intrudes upon one's thoughts. Get help from other people. So I began to study the scriptures for encouragement, to hear what God was saying to me. One of the reasons that it's important to spend time regularly in the Bible is that it sharpens your sword. We have to pray with our eyes on God, not on the difficulties. Yeah. We must. But here are some powerful scriptures from the Word of God that meant a lot to me, and perhaps you'll take some help from them too. In Deuteronomy, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified. This is God speaking. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. The Psalms, this is one of my favorites. Cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. Amen. Proverbs, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Isaiah, someone sent this to me during this time, and it meant a lot to me. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Jeremiah, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. And in 2 Timothy, I love this one, but the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength. And I have to say that that scripture, that meant a lot to me. Going forward, day to day, the Lord stood at my side and he gave me strength. And it was amazing. In every experience of life, God, the Lord, is standing at the door, knocking and saying, will you trust me in this? Will you? Every night I read this quotation, I wrote it out and I put it on my bedside table. Every night I read it. Sometimes God has to lean in close to my heart that is full of questions and gently whisper, you don't have to have all the answers right now. You just need to trust me. So I read that every night before I went to bed, and I believe it helped me. Gradually, I began to sleep better. Though we still didn't know what the outcome would be, and we both gave a sigh of relief and thankfulness when in September the doctor gave us the good report. So we would encourage you to keep reading the scriptures. They're so important. The word of God to us all, so important. Keep looking to our faithful God. He'll bring you through whatever he has assigned to you. And he will give, and you will give him praise. I know you will. Thank you.
Thank you.
Phoenix. We love you guys. We love you guys. I'm sorry I didn't bring the tissues up. I had them here for you, but praise God. We're on the other side. And thank you for your faithfulness, that even in doubting and questions and worry, that you had a faith that God gave you that was deeper than all of those things. Amen. We've got one more story. I'm going to invite Lorena to come on up and share. Don't worry, Lorena, we got the tissues up for you. Lorena and I were talking the other day, and I had tissues nearby. And she said, oh, good, you're learning about who I am. So I am learning about who you are, and there's tissues for you. So there you go.
That's an awesome intro. Thanks. Good morning, everybody. Thank you for sitting there and listening to whatever's going to come out of here. When I think about the word breakthrough, which is what this series is about, I thought, well, I could look it up. So there's breakthrough in medicine, there's breakthrough in science, and there's many, 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 many other definitions of breakthrough. But I picked two. According to Webster, one of theirs is an act or instance of moving through or beyond an obstacle. The Bible says, a sudden advance, especially in knowledge or technique, a profound shift. Oh, wait a minute. I thought I could read that. A profound shift or an advancement, often in the content of overcoming obstacles, achieving victory, or experiencing God's transformative power in our lives. I like that one better. But it never ceases to amaze me, the things that we humans tell ourselves, which gives life to the lies the enemy tells us, either through our own voices or from the voices of other people in front of us. Those negative imprints are residual hurts carried with us due to past traumas, belief systems, and experiences. So what does that look like? Well, it allows you to be able to blend in because you're going to conform and chameleon into the things that you have heard. You can appear to be content, talented, easygoing, endless energy, skewed understanding of identity, and a survival mode behavior. You become a people pleaser. The list of behaviors are almost endless and problematic, but that is not my story. That is not your story. That is not the story that God had written. Psalm 139, 16 says, "Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." And when I thought about that, I don't know. I get nothing. So my breakthrough, I feel, is not a one-time event. There are many small ones. And in stepping into faith, I realized that ones that occurred as I become willing to make the changes God has shown me and many times corrected me. Okay, more times than I mentioned right now, but corrected me nonetheless. And I'm still a work in progress. Joyce Meyer says, "We live our lives forward, but we only understand it backwards." And we understand it backwards because we get to reflect on where we came from in order to propel us to where we need to go. I was baptized 2 years ago, this past week actually, down in Salmon Arm. And that wasn't necessarily the breakthrough, but it was still the result of my finally hearing the whisperings of God through the Holy Spirit, awakening what was imprinted on my heart by Him. Breakthrough. I did not race across land or water to come here. I had uncertainty, hesitation, and I was not looking forward to the rainy season for fear I would become melancholy. But it was whispered to me that some of the longings of family would become reality. My relationship with my son is strong. He has a lady in his life who I enjoy. I have a niece. I have a nephew. I have a sister-in-law. And I have a brother who I love very much. Hang on, I can't see. Yeah. Okay. Oh, I have Kleenex. Wait. See, I need all the help I can get. See? This is part of my actual testimony. But the longing satisfied that I wasn't aware of in the conscious, was my longing relationship with God. And He is providing that here. I was involved. I mean, wait a minute. Breakthrough! The action of becoming a member of Bethel certainly surprises me, and quite naturally, the way that I have been accepted here still makes me pause. The reason I pause is because I was quite proficient in being present, but not involved in the community. I didn't really connect with other members of the church I attended, or in the life of the people that I associated and surrounded myself with or injected myself into. Oh, I was friendly enough, but I was kind of aloof. You didn't know who I was here. You knew who I was here. So I felt out of my league. I was a baby Christian. What would I have to offer? I'll just listen. And although the feeling of not thinking I had anything to offer was incorrect, the act of just listen was exactly what God wanted. Breakthrough. I learned a little more about myself from God's perspective and began to desire learning more of the truth as God ordained it. That's a breakthrough. The truth is providing freedom, the ability to handle struggles with a calm and faithful heart. Breakthrough. I am understanding the meaning of faith better, breakthrough, connected with God at a deeper level and gaining a new perspective on my life in this life, in His eyes. Breakthrough. I understand now that loving God teaches me to love myself, to love others, to trust. No! Please. Unravel me. He's so excited to play that song. No worries. I now understand that loving God teaches me to love myself, love others, and trust in Him who has ordained this crazy life for His good. And He has been merciful, always present, and always faithful. Breakthrough. Take it away, Ed. Sing it if you know it.
I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay.
Thank you, everybody. I appreciate you all.
There we go. Everyone can hear me okay? Right on. Rena, thank you so much for sharing. You know, I love about your testimony is the God changing thought patterns and behaviors is breakthrough. I love that. And through that lens, we all need breakthrough. I want to invite the band to come on up. We're gonna end with a time of worship and prayer. Feel like Lorena already kind of kicked us off with the goodness of God there, but I want to invite you to stand if you wouldn't mind, and the prayer team I want to invite to come to the front and to the back. And if you're here this morning and you want prayer for anything, you want prayer for breakthrough in your life or in the life of someone else, there's some wonderful people at the front and the back who are willing to pray with you and to believe with you. But let's come to the Lord together. In song. So I'm going to pray for us, and then Mariah, you can take it away. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for the stories of your faithfulness, for the stories of your goodness. Lord, we thank you that you are faithful, even in the moments when we can't see it. We worship you, we honor you, and we praise you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.